Father, we come just seeking your face tonight, and we so long for your visitation. Lord, we don't just desire you to come and to our midst. We need you here tonight. We need you to come and speak a word of life into each of us, Father. We face different issues today on a daily scale. We've all been out there into this mess, this world, and we've been vexed. We've been put in contact with filth. We need that washing, Lord, that you gave your disciples, the cleansing of our minds. Just bring our thoughts now into subjection tonight to your word, to the obedience of the Holy Spirit, the obedience of Christ. Let us reel our flesh back in now and put it under and bring it into subjection to your Holy Spirit as you long to speak to your church tonight. No distractions by this world, but ears to hear what the Spirit would say tonight to the church. Build us up, Lord. Strengthen us. Purify us. Prepare us, because we go to war again tomorrow. Make your church ready, Lord. Empower us by your Spirit. Put your word in our mouth, that we would go and speak as the very oracles of God. Your church, triumphant, magnificent, glorious. Show yourself mighty in our midst, Lord. And as we go with this promise. We take it to heart. Burn it into the spirit of every one of us in this place tonight. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And for that, Father, we say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As we've been talking about the hour that we're in, and of course the warfare that's at hand, how every one of us here really needs to become very conscious of putting on the whole armor of God. Amen. We can't be naive concerning the hour that we're in. Things are not the same. That coming of the Lord is nearer than when we first believed. Now, if it is, and it is, He's given us an understanding that certain things would happen prior to that coming, this environment. And they are manifesting themselves right now. They're not waiting to come. But those things that he spoke of are escalating in intensity. And every day that goes by, I want to share a little bit tonight. Every day that goes by, I want you to understand something. Sin is going to increase. The power of sin is increasing on a daily basis, almost exponentially. And because of that, we've got to prepare ourselves, as we saw in our last session, as we get ready to go out into the world. And we talked some about Peter, and we talked about not being overconfident. The scripture says there's going to be a great falling away in the last day. Our response to that should be, Lord, is it I? And as we talk tonight a little bit out of the Word, we just want to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to the church. That naiveness that is in so much of the church today, and hopefully not to the same magnitude here among us as in this community. But the Lord speaks very clearly and talks about the indicators of the churches in Revelation and how the church is going to see itself without need. You know, a church that's rich and really, truly has need of nothing. And I'm talking about from the natural. We need revival. Amen. We have a need of that refreshing. We have a need of that visitation of the Holy Spirit. But the church today, the visible church, is living in a place that's pretty much without persecution. Oh, we know of our brothers and sisters in pockets around the world that are suffering and the persecution that goes on. Eighty percent of the Christian influence in Syria is gone. The church is being driven out of many of these Islamic nations. And as they leave, they flee into different areas of refuge cities, if you please. And tragically, what it creates is more apathy in their lives. An inability to identify with those things that the Lord had spoken are going to face the church in the last hour. We thank God that as iniquity abounds, that grace of God is going to abound to a greater magnitude. Amen? But as we comprehend and understand that all of us that choose in this hour to live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer persecutions. Here in this nation, for us as a people individually, the church does have that Laodicean attitude. And we think that somehow because of outward appearances that the church is stable and strong and flourishing. But tragically, as we watch and hear, the boasting are in concerts and buildings and political influence. And we know that the Holy Spirit's saying that the real indicator of the presence of God in this hour must be the preparation and purification of the bride. A people becoming holier. A people becoming more separate. We had a visitor here, I think, last Wednesday. I don't know what night it was. One of our last services, sat right back here. He came up and he said, "Do you remember who I am?" And I said, "Your face is familiar." He said, I attended here 40 years ago. He said, I was a new Christian and I came among you." And he said, "The word of God came into my heart and I was built up and established in faith." But he said, I never partook of the charismatic aspect of the fellowship. And he said, "So I left and I went to Faith Bible." Y'all remember Faith Bible down here? I don't think they're still around. And he said, "I went there for years." And he said, "I'm now at Cornerstone." And he said, "I was very aware of some of the things that you were going through as a fellowship." He said, "I want you to know that I and a number of people were praying for you." And he said, "I told people that I was in contact with, don't you believe anything that you're hearing. I'll tell you exactly what's going on at that church." He said, "What's going on is the word of God is being preached. Every Christian that steps into that place will be challenged to be more Christ-like when he leaves. And not everybody wants to hear that today." And he said, "So I thought I'd come and check it out." And he said, "Nothing's changed, praise God." And the bride is making herself ready. And because of that, there's not going to be an association, an affiliation, an acceptance into the world. There's going to be a rejection. There's going to be a hatred for us. The call to the church in this hour, come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. You know, when the scripture says don't be unequally yoked together, it's not just talking about marriage. Don't be yoking up with your co-workers. Oh, they're great people. They're just fine people. They're moral people. They're religious people. And so were those people that stood around the fire with Peter as he rejected Jesus. Very religious people. But a hater of our Lord. And I thank God that we're on the brink of coming into a time when the lines of demarcation are going to become very clear. But what I want to share tonight is the fact that as we prepare to go into this, if we're going to stand, the title of this message, last message that we had, was "Preparing to Stand While Many Fall." Tonight, we've just changed the title. Some of the same message is going to come to us. Tonight's message, "Some Shall Depart." And Demas has forsaken me, the scripture says, having loved this present world. Demas was a great man of God. Demas was close to Paul. Demas was used by the Holy Ghost. And Demas fell in love with the world. And Lot was a righteous man, but he was vexed day by day by the things that he saw and heard. Amen? And we believe that doctrinally, but do we believe that? Do you really believe that every day that you go out into this cruddy world, this filthy and perverse generation, do you understand, and part of what we're going to look at tonight, that every spirit around you, and I want to tell you something, if people are not regenerated, born again, children of God, children of light, they are instruments of the devil, and their purpose is to seduce the church. That's Satan's job. That's what he's motivating people to do. And in every, you know, type of vehicle available, they will be bringing this message to the true church. Has God said, you don't need to be that fired up. You don't need to spend that much time in prayer. You don't need to be worried about repenting over those kind of things. They're disputable matters. You have liberties. And we want to look tonight at that spirit of Antichrist and encourage ourselves to understand Gnosticism is alive and well today. And it is one of the greatest enemies of the church. Because in that spirit of Gnosticism, that satanic, demonic diminishing of God, and that's what it is, it just makes God smaller and man greater. And it does it through the diminishing of the Word of God. Antinomianism. And as we go into this hour, the one thing that is happening in the church today, people are mistaking walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, experiencing liberty as an ability or a right to separate ourselves from the law of God. People in the church today don't want rules. I don't want to be restrained. I'm being led of the Spirit. I can hear the voice of God. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes is what the prophet said would be in the church just prior to the coming of Jesus. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be. And so we see this license of walking as an entity to ourselves. We become a law unto ourselves. We establish different liberties and rules for my family and my vision and my understanding. Oh, beloved, I want to tell you something. If we're going to stand in this hour, it's on the old path that we'll stand. Amen. And that we grew up on, biblical holiness, is not old-fashioned. It's the Word of God. Amen? But we're in a world and we're being seduced, and we'll see that in just a moment, and we're being vexed against all that's old and established, thinking that these new revelations, see, everything new. Can I tell you something? There is no new thing under the sun. Amen. That's Bible. Amen. And so I want to look at this spirit a little bit. I want us to be aware of that spirit, of what you're walking into every day. Don't leave the house unprepared. Don't leave without your armor. Don't go out there vulnerable. Understand what's taking place in the marketplace, in the workplace. There are two kingdoms violently opposing one another. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent will take it by force. Amen? We are not going to just patty cake our way into the presence of God. We're not going to tiptoe through the tulips or go skipping along. We are at war. And we're warring against flesh. We're warring against Satan and this kingdom, or the world system that he's established. And I won't get into specifics at this moment. But if you begin to analyze progress, what we call progress is actually a despising of God's truths and God's provisions. The one who said that you would never lack for anything if you would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so here in Timothy, let's go ahead and jump in and see where we go. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to see where we are in this hour. And it says that the Spirit speaks expressly, urgently, definitely, specifically, boldly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now watch this. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, these seducing spirits, let's talk about that for just a moment. Most of the church, most of us that really know the Lord, those of us who are Spirit-filled, those of us who live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, we're most likely not going to begin to just be caught up into different types of lascivious type living and into, you know, these heinous type sins that we know to be murder and adultery and drunkenness and reveling and all of these different things. That's not what's going to happen to most of us. The seduction of Satan that he's using on the church today is to get you to just take back a little bit of independence and think that it's acceptable to God. Those specific areas that we're counting liberties, but the Word doesn't give you that liberty. The word doesn't give you liberty, young people, to disobey your parents in anything. Amen? But we try to justify. And we'll stand against the declaration of the head of our house as Father speaks the word of God who's responsible for your soul. And as he shares the word of God with you and says, it is written. Here's why we don't do that. It is written. And your response is, well, so-and-so's doing it. Other kids are doing it. And I'm just wanting to point out as we go through this a few practical things that are antinomianism. The word is absolute. Amen? The word is perfect. And converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's righteous altogether. The law is holy and just and good. And the seducing spirits will question, has God said? Now, dads, I want to challenge you here tonight. When you encounter those seducing spirits trying to come in and take your wife and take your children, you better be able to stand like Jesus and say, it is written, praise God. Amen? Here's why we're doing that in our house. Not because the church said it. Not because it's some kind of tradition. I want you to know something. Thus saith the Lord, and as for me and my house, we're serving God. Amen? And so I want to encourage you to understand that they're seducing spirits. They're out after your mind. They're out after your wife's mind. They're out after your children's mind. Being inundated on a daily basis. And so as we look at these passages and we're talking about preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord, and we're talking about being able to stand in this generation when so many around us, the Bible says, is going to fall. It says their conscience becomes seared. How many of us, and we'll look at some points here in just a moment, have fallen into the pitfall that Peter did of believing that our conscience is greater truth than the Word of God? Well, you know, the conscience just means to know within. Well, I've got this witness. I know. This is what's supposed. I know for hundreds of years, this is what the church has said this means, but I have a revelation and I know within myself. How teachable are you? Paul admonished those that were following him and receiving that ministry from his apostolic role. And he says, you have known my doctrine and my manner of living. Amen. He said in that last hour, don't be ashamed of me, he told his young followers. as he revealed to them his final state. Some of them were responding the same way that when Jesus told them his final condition. That passage in Matthew 16 when Jesus rebuked Peter, turn over there for just a second. Keep your finger in Timothy 4 here. We'll be right back. But look over here as he's speaking in this 16th chapter and verse 21. It said, Jesus began to show the disciples that he's going to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Now, isn't it tragic that all they heard was killed and not raised again the third day? Hear what the Spirit's saying. He goes on then and he says that Peter then took him and began to rebuke him. Isn't that amazing? You know, we were talking about his life the other day, the great things that Peter did. And we spent time and developed how great a man of God Peter was. But isn't it interesting how many of us fall into that first step of deception when the word doesn't meet up with what our expectations are? How we believed God would do it. How we think God should do it. I want to tell you something. There's more of us than would like to admit that put God on trial. We don't accuse him. We just make statements like, I don't understand. Yes, you do. You understand very clearly. The reality is that God is sovereign and he directs our paths and our steps are ordered of him. And that there's a war going on. And there are casualties in this war of satanic onslaught. And the enemy comes and he says, if God was God, he could have delivered here. Of course he could have. He didn't. It's his will. Praise him. Amen. I don't understand. I sought the Lord 3 times and I didn't get healed. I don't understand. Yes, you do understand. You're not going to get healed because Satan has been sent to buffet you. Amen. Because of the abundance of your revelation. So that you will remain humble. Yeah, but I don't like that. Well, at least say that. But don't say you don't understand. Paul's conclusion, because he was living in the Spirit, was I accept your truth that your grace is sufficient for me. Amen? Seducing spirits. They want to change this gospel message. They want to change the Pauline epistles and say that they don't apply in the 21st century American church. They're too restrictive. They're archaic. They don't fit into this generation. Neither should we be fitting into this generation. If we're going to stand. We've got a decision to make, and Moses had to make. Do we enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Or do we separate ourselves unto God? And lay up treasures in heaven that are eternal. He took him and rebuked him. Think you'll ever go that far? Will we admit that we have the capacity of going that far? If Peter did, we can. We were asking the question, how did he get there? We talked about those people across the street a little bit earlier. How did they get there? One decision at a time. But they began to believe their own truth. Fake news. More than ever, we need to begin to pour back into the scriptures and ask ourselves, how do I create this image? How do I allow this creation of the image of Christ to be developed in me? How can I become more Christ-like? How can I become less involved in this world and less influenced by its seduction? None of us are free from it. We're forced to go out and deal with it because of our livelihood. But why would we choose to go be a part of it? And so Peter here then is rebuked of the Lord. And look what he goes on to say, the Lord speaking to him. He said, listen, get behind me, Satan. What a powerful word this is. You are an offense to me. You know, many of our decisions are offensive to God. Many of our questionings are an offense to God. Our judgmental spirit is an offense to God. And this is what's taking place here. Peter's setting himself up, rebuking the Lord. Well, Peter, if your will was to be done here, then you would go to hell if Jesus doesn't go to this cross that he's prophesying. Amen? In the time that I had in prayer throughout the day and just seeking the mind of the Spirit, it's kind of one of those times when I've got so much stuck up here that I'm really trying to find a way to let it out. But the truths we see as Jesus then turns and rebukes him and says, you are an offense, get behind me. And then he makes this statement. He said, the problem is you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That's how we begin to fall into these early aspects of deception, of not being able to really see who we are. We start surrounding ourselves with people that agree with us. And it may not be to this degree, but we have the luxury today of getting ourselves very quickly and easily deceived by going to the internet. And we'll type in and we'll ask these questions and we will find some theologian somewhere that will agree with what we want to do that we know is against the Word of God. As we go on, you'll see it in the scriptures. The Bible says it this way, and they will heap to themselves teachers. Amen? Do you study the Word of God? Do you fellowship with? Do you seek teachings that agree to something that will confirm what you already agree? What I know innately is the truth, and my conscience tells me. And so I'm going to find somebody that will agree with this greater truth being self-awareness, independence, the fruit, the byproduct of antinomianism. Let God be true. Amen. And so he rebukes them and he says, the problem is your love for the things of men, the things of this world. He said, if anyone will come to me, verse 24, let him deny the self and let him take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to warn us tonight about having this preconceived notion of what God's going to do, how God's going to answer prayer. Why is God allowing my child to go through this? My loved one, my friend. Do you want to know why God's allowing them to go through that? Because God's good. Amen? Amen. And God is merciful. And God is kind. And God works all things after his own good pleasure. And he will ultimately work all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purposes. Amen? Why are you questioning? You see, if we know God through his word, then circumstances don't dictate to us. And if circumstances aren't dictating to us, and if we know God through his word, then we're not prey to seductive spirits, seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. The doctrines that come from devils are found over in 1 John. Just turn over there for just a minute. We weren't going here, but here we are. And he said, every man that has the hope in the return of the Lord, chapter 3, verse 3, will purify himself even as he is pure. But whosoever committeth sin transgresses against the law. For sin is transgression of the law. Now sin, harmatia in the Greek, we know what it means, right? To miss the mark. Well, what is the mark? The mark is the revelation of the word of God, the truth of God. Sin is operating outside the revealed will of God, the revealed truth of God. Sin is establishing our own truth. Sin is the willful choice to remain in lordship. Or as Jesus says it over in John's gospel, he said, the whole world perishes. Men go to hell for this one reason alone, not murder, not adultery, not drunkenness, because they believe not on me. Amen? Isn't that what he says? Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, if we're not careful and we fall into a Calvinistic type of a mentality, we're going to think then that, you know, people can't backslide. See, I love what the Calvinists do. They say, well, if somebody backslides, they weren't really saved in the first place. Well, that's a cop out. I don't want to get that far, of course, but Hebrews makes it very clear that You can have the deep knowledge of God and yet tread the blood of Jesus beneath your feet. And establish yourself in a place where there is no longer forgiveness for sin. There is no hope for a man that finds himself having known God and willfully choosing to usurp lordship and think that he can create another way to access God that's without a servant's heart, a humble heart, an obedient heart, an exclusive lordship of Jesus in his life. There remains no more provision for that type of a heart. These doctrines of devils, the doctrines of devils will always limit the effect of sin. I'll say it again. The doctrines of devils will always minimize the effect of sin in a person's life or a community. Things that become so, quote, natural and acceptable among us, and we've spent hours on it, and I won't get off on it tonight, but it's been referred to in the last couple of teachings by some of the other guys, and we talk about, you know, the lack of loving one another, the preferring of self, and allowing ourselves to make judgments against others, and to have a great concept in our perceptions and our intuitions, and we begin to judge others' motives, and we think we know why they did what they did. They don't even know why they did it many times. How are you going to know? Who are you to judge another man's servant? Amen? In fact, as we're going to see for just a moment, how can you know their heart? You don't even know your own heart. This is part of what we're talking about. The conscience being seared is what speaks toward Jeremiah 17, that passage that we all are very familiar with. Don't trust in your heart. If we're going to stand in this last hour, don't trust in your heart what you think you know. Trust in the absolute letter of the Word of God. Listen to counselors. Listen to brothers and sisters who come and bring you the word of God that is profitable for reproof and rebuke and instruction into righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Amen? Listen. Be teachable. Take up the cross. Die to self, or you'll fall. And it has nothing to do with how successful you've been, how experienced you are. Peter surpassed us all in those areas and became self-deceived because he wouldn't hear the word. He wouldn't hear the word spoken from Jesus' lips. That's what man's capable of doing. Those who of us who know him. Oh, beloved, teachableness, humility, quietness so that you can begin to hear the Spirit reveal His will to you. The heart is deceitful above all things. Finish it. Who can know it? Amen? So what do you think in your heart? You doing okay? Things going well? You're right where God wants you? You know those things that used to convict you? They're acceptable now. I've matured enough to be able to have that liberty. See, I used to think it was law, but I'm free from the law now because I'm matured and I'm walking in the Spirit. And my conscience assures me that I'm doing good. That I'm right with God. But here comes little brother, little sister that walks up to us and goes, yeah, but what about this verse? Well, as you mature some, you'll be able to understand a little better how this really works. So if you're asking, Pastor, are we supposed to get back under the law? No, we're supposed to fulfill the law. Amen. Amen. We're not under the law. We are living daily victorious over the flesh, victorious over sin, victorious over the devil, and we are fulfilling the law. We're not condemning the law. We're fulfilling the law. Which law? Well, all of the law and the prophets are summed up in this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. Well, I can't sit here and gossip with you because I'm under the law of loving my neighbor. Amen. I can't sit here and vaunt myself. I can't sit here and dominate because I'm under the law of love. I want to be able to walk in the spirit of daily dying, as the apostle did, to self-will, to self-exaltation, to supremacy of my way, my thoughts, my convictions. And so if we're going to stand, you know, we just need to come into that embracing of humility that identifies how wretched we are. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Amen? Amen. You know, one of the most dangerous things that can happen to us is we begin to be successful in life. And it creates in man, it feeds that appetite of man of preeminence. And we begin to think then that we're Lord of all. Many of us, because we're heads of our homes and understand and apply that improperly sometimes, delude ourselves into thinking that somehow, because God has placed us in this role, in this position of authority, that we become the authority and are not subject to instruction, to admonition, to the rest of the body. Speaking edification into our lives. He goes on in Jeremiah 17 and says, can you really know it? Who can know it? You know, we talked about that hour in 1 Timothy 4 and these seducing spirits and these doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy 3:13 says that, go ahead and turn back to Timothy, and I didn't realize it was that late. We'll go ahead and unhook with this, but look back at Timothy for just a moment. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he just finishes that we had spoken earlier, and the fact that there's going to be persecution that comes for all that live godly in Christ Jesus. But then he makes this statement, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now I talked about that man that came the other day, and here's the point that we'll end with tonight. We go out and we begin to listen to other input. You see, we've been raised in a strict doctrine of biblical holiness. We're different than a lot of folks, most folks. I believe that we, the church, are on a narrow path. There's not a lot of latitude to patty cake with the world. To involve ourselves in its doctrines, in its ambitions, in looking for their praise, in being counted one of them and among them and someone who's preeminent in their midst. We sit at their gates. Many of us here, because of our godly character and because of the Holy Spirit, we've experienced promotion. And in our promotions, as we've gone up, many of us have been placed in areas of responsibility because we've had the same spirit of Joseph. Because we've had the same spirit of Daniel. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And like Lot, we sit at the gates, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, we're vexed. We become one of them. Let me remind you, it is not those who are mighty as they count might, or wise in their wisdom. Let this be your wisdom among them, Moses said. Your distinctness, your separation, your holiness, that God is your source and His Word is your guide, and you will not compromise. And we will not bow our knee. And our God will deliver us, but if He doesn't, we're not doing it your way. Amen? That's what allows you to be successful and not get killed in it. You don't change anything. Or as the old saying says, dance with the one that brung you. Right? God put you there. You got there through His wisdom. You got there through His methods. Why would you now look for their praise and their acceptance and be seduced by their methodology? And because to think now like they do, that you're some kind of preeminent somebody. You're the same lame person you were when Jesus saved you. Amen? And the only reason you've experienced exaltation is because you humbled yourself. I'm trying to point out these things that are out there that'll kill us, that are lying against the truth. It's going to wax worse and worse. Tomorrow is going to be more dangerous than today was. There's going to be greater power of sin. I'm talking about the magnitude of sin and its effect on humanity will be greater tomorrow than it was today. It's going to be dangerous out there tomorrow. More dangerous than you've ever experienced in your life. Are we preparing ourselves? Are we putting on the full armor of God? Are we hating the things that they love? Are we going to represent the kingdom of light? Is my purpose for going to work to win souls? Amen? It's who we are. It's the whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep His commandments. We exist for nothing else. But they'll wax worse and worse. Look, deceiving and being deceived. All that says is society gets together and they just keep lying to each other. Using each other. Deceiving each other. I guess today the terminology we'd call it networking. Deceiving and being deceived. We'll end with this for tonight. You want to stay safe? Continue in the things which you have learned. Amen? We'll pick up with this in the next session. And has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul's not talking about himself. Paul said he received these things by revelation. Amen? Paul's not sitting here telling us how he thinks things should go. He said, I was caught up into the heavens. These truths were given to me by revelation, by Jesus Himself. You can't change it. You can't lower the standard. You can't broaden the path. Continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of. And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise to salvation. And know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Run to the law. Run to the word. What's dangerous out there? What's the Bible say is dangerous? How can I stay safe? How can I become purer? How can I become more powerful in the Spirit? What does it take to finish this course? He goes on and tells us. Paul goes on and says, I've finished the course. I'm sharing with you how to be victorious. Listen to what I've taught you and do it that way. And don't think you're smarter and don't think you're an exception. All the danger of wanting to be accepted in the religious crowd especially. Oh, we don't want people to think we're being critical. We don't want people to think that we're self-righteous. We don't want people to think that we're the Holy Ghost police. We don't want people to... Peter, You're savoring the things of men. You don't think that was still in him? We read the story in Galatians, don't we? Where Paul finally even says, he said, I had to withstand him to his face. He's more concerned about what people were thinking. Father, we ask you tonight to take your word and just let it permeate our hearts. You said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is our haven. It's our hiding place. Father, we don't go out tomorrow to face men of neutrality. We're going out tomorrow to face evil men, seducers, proponents of doctrines of devils. Not many mighty, not many noble. Being proficient and victorious in the world gives you no credibility in the church. Only your fruit does. Make it real, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.